suspect he's not. What else? I could. Let me see if this. It's not yesterday. Oh, this is ever. Yes. Well, she's here, we'll get her. Up here? You may be right, we'll get her in as soon as, they didn't swear her yesterday, I don't think, did they? Or did they? Well, this time.
I think I would like to take, invite John Mitchell to go over there, there's room in that fish department.
Yes.
Probably the hospital.
Yes.
I think it would be good to get him. It's really, I don't know that he can do it, if I mean, if he can.
I don't know either, that. Why don't I ask him that if you'd like to take.
No, I'm not going over, would he like to go over Friday, spend the night, he can spend over Friday and Saturday. Don't be, he'll be there.
I think he'll say that he's better, that he has to stay here.
Maybe invited Evan Harper.
Yes, Evan will stand there and he'll come up with it.
Well, I think I'll invite one other, if he can't go, I think I'd be nice to have him in here.
And. California, maybe. He was here yesterday, he wasn't in there this morning.
Well, I was thinking of one other than having a Sequoia meeting tonight, which is, you know, I've got many more times than I can do this. About going to this bench. Line.
Record.
Cigarette. I don't think we need to have, we'd have Harlow again on this. So he definitely would. Pretty well covered. Maybe early on that. So, Colson. Hardway, Colson and Klein are not compatible. Does it mean?
Yeah, they were.
What I meant is to sort of a younger group, or anybody else that is a political man, you could have.
But,
will he be back in California?
I think so.
Well, I think it's crazy, won't that help?
I think he's due back today.
You'll find John and have him in this sort rather than having him handle to Steve. Get him to road, I should have been doing it, the times passed him. In person, Bill's hurry, though, second, she knows how to catch people at their right time and doesn't do it with a memorandum, you know what I mean? It's a very subtle business to handle all these people. No fault of people either, just the fact that he just got in and called. Just give it to road. Say, all right, want this done, work it out. She'll work it out. Should have been. terms of using what reason triggered me was the way you've been putting this matter since you're about. Here's a real, what do we get for something that we really haven't done much?
Not much.
We've given away a hell of a lot of stuff to a lot of people, particularly over the business bricks.
That's right.
We bought them for that Ford thing up there, car.
Yep.
And shit, that year was worth $1 million and 100,000 workers.
Yep.
What do we get for it?
That's right. And he keeps kicking us. And he keeps kicking us.
What about Ford?
Oh, Ford, I mean, helps the Democrats. Ford helps the Democrats.
He'll help the government.
I don't know who he's helping on the other side now, but he sure no helped us.
Who?
Henry Ford.
After we got his cars.
Really?
Yeah. Well, but the point I made to John, he had triggered something. He got, George Smathers wanted something for one of his clients, which is an enormous benefit. And John said, well, let's make a proposition. We need your support. We need this and that. What they're gonna do, how much money they're gonna contribute, and how many workers they're gonna give, and so forth. He's absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, you can imagine that's the way Mark Lifford would have talked to you. We haven't done this much. We see it, for example, a guy called me last night and he spoke with Senate, which was ridiculous. That's what happened this morning. I said, you realize that we're in this crap that we might have won that vote, and we told them there was some progress in talks. On the other hand, we told them there's some progress in talks that might have destroyed the talks. On the other hand, I said, you've got to realize that I'm letting you vote and affect the progress. He said, no, just can't. That's done. But find a day to call for it. It's much more about it. I really got it. My person is a senior. He was the one that had a good strategy along with others, but he's right. And got a really good help. If our soft heads are on here, Carmen Price would have thought it was a disaster. He's right. Better to have been some of a job there and have probably, would you agree?
No question about it.
And that what we did was right.
Like, absolutely.
It, well, I don't know. It's,
I'm sure some do this, sir.
Oh, it's there are. Well, we don't know. You know, that's my point. Now, here's the point. Two cases of violence the use of hand. Two critical votes, just neither comes up this year. One was Percy, one was Appliance. And a Christian raised probably a $250,000. Had no idea, whatever it was. Got nothing out of you. As I understood, you know, as he called Henry Wilson, he said, it doesn't make sense that, of course, he's a courthouse politician. The people get nothing for him. Is that correct or not?
He's absolutely correct. He called Henry.
Sir, good. Anyway. Now, what brings us to mind now, John, is something that's much more fundamental. It has to do with the what you're getting out of the IRS, if anything. What we're getting out of the other investigative agencies, the government, including the Department of Justice and so forth. And here's something I think we have, except for a little extent, of the IRS, where we really dropped the ball. Remember about 2 years ago, I made the same reflection. I said, now look. They're after us all the time. When we were out, the sons of bitches, especially in our income tax returns, they were bringing cases, they were bringing SEC things, so they were killing us. Here we are, we're in power. The only stories, believe me, the only stories that I have seen in the last 6 months have been ones where our agencies are investigating our people, not theirs. Or am I being unkind enough?
I don't think so.
And it was interesting to note that the other day, this is the Watergate thing, it was in a different category, but I thought, Bob, that the Post headline on that was really vicious, where they said, Nixon fund.
Yeah.
Nixon fund. Well, that was, you know, did you agree or did anybody?
Oh, yeah.
That's so
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid that I need to. But anyway, here we go. What in the name of God are we doing on this story? What are we doing about the financial contributors? Now, they their income tax returns. Our suggestion department checking to see whether or not there's any added cost to it. Do we have anything going on any of these things?
I'm sure that.
We better forget about that campaign right this minute, not tomorrow, but now. That's what concerns me. We have all this power, we aren't using it. And what the crisis matter? In other words, what I'm really saying is this, and I think we've got to get it out. I'm just thinking about, for example, if there's information on Larry O'Brien. If there is, I would wait. I'm worried the sons of bitches know, because after they select somebody else, it's irrelevant, even though he's still in the campaign. It's much more relevant now that then they drop him because, see what I mean?
Yeah, well, but what?
Can you get out? But we've got the facts, so they check the other side of the facts, and what is being done, and who is doing this full time? That's what I'd like to know. Who's running the IRS? Who's running over the Justice Department? So what I meant is, with all the agencies of government, what in the name of God are we doing about them, about the, what the government contributes?
I think sure answer to your question is nothing. And,
here we are. Boy, they're going to us.
No question.
And it's never happened that way before.
I can give you.
Johnson screwed everybody, Kent had, and when we were out in 52, the Truman people were kicking the hell out of me.
Sure.
In 62, they kicked the hell out of me. In 1960, the bureaucracy leached up on my visit with Khrushchev. The revising our bureaucracy. I got that part of the problem is the bureaucracy, but part of the problem is our own goddamn fault. There must be something that we can do.
I don't disagree.
Now, where is he around? Do we enlist him or anybody to do this kind of work? I think the trouble is we got too many nice guys around. We just want to do the right thing.
Well, very interesting.
Well, we tried to do it and failed, really, isn't it?
We got a guy who's a pluperfect bastard. He's a loyalist. He's a fanatic loyalist in the IRS. And, he's our guy. One Treasury Secretary after another, starting with Kennedy, Connolly, now Schultz, have said, oh, Jesus, can't you get this guy out of there? Can't you just take him out of there? He's making all kinds of trouble for us. He's too partisan. He's too
loyal. Now, one thing about Schultz is that Schultz is not long for this life, in my opinion, because he's not being political enough. I don't care how nice a guy he is. I don't care how good a diplomacy he is. We can't have this bullshit.
Well, the interesting thing is, as political a guy as Connolly, played the same too.
I know, Connolly is sitting on top of it, not knowing the bureaucracy. Oh, Connolly knew the bureaucracy at one side and down the other. Connolly wouldn't play it. And he played it off as the problem with the IRS commissioner and all that. That was, he had the lid on it. And Connolly was playing, I'll tell you, I bet you Connolly's got plenty of IRS files. Yeah, because he spent a lot of time studying the sensitive reports.
Probably his friends and so forth and so on.
He has a lot of friends in the suit.
What, if anything, have we done on a Democratic candidate, for example, on his incumbent, on O'Brien? We got anything further on that topic?
I don't, not to my knowledge. And the problem we've had, as I understand it, going back to the 70 and 71 period, when there were efforts made to do this,
we get caught, that they
come back with the thing that we can't pull a file because there's got to be a reason to pull a file. And you got to, we did pull files anyway, but that gets flagged at the district office or something like that, and then somebody runs out and tells
them. That's IRS, okay, then. Is there any other agency in the government? Justice Department doing? Can we investigate people? Is there anything we can do?
Yes.
Anything?
And it's kind of interesting the problem that you have. I sent to the Department of Defense for my government service jacket because I was curious about what his bombing experience had been and that kind of stuff. And I got it. But Jesus, the grief I took in getting it is unbelievable. Carl Wallace called me from Laird's office, and finally, the way I got it was that Dave Young went over there, and he has some contacts as a result of the Ellsberg case and some other cases, and he went in and got it for me and brought it over here. But guys like Laird, light shields, the light clankings are just touchy as hell about cooperating with some of these guys. They're scared of their asses, is what they're scared of. They don't want to read their names in the paper. And that's the whole name of this game. Now, Abe Fortas played this game. And before he left his service with Johnson, he salted a lot of bright young guys into IRS, into the Justice Department, and into the Treasury. And there are still Fortas guys in there that are sealed in. And this is part of our problem, because the minute you go near one of these file cabinets,
Lyndon Johnson knows that we found that out.
Yep.
Let me say one thing we can do, sir. Judge, what you have, and people don't think I meant it. Malik has got to have, or his successor, have got to have that list of every state that's on the bench. Did we appoint you, Sir General?
No. No, that's the General Accounting Office.
We let Hughes go.
Sam Hughes?
We let him go from the Budget Bureau.
The guy that's suing his fund business.
Yeah, that's the guy.
We fired him out of the Bureau of the Budget.
He's the guy that used to be the Budget Bureau guy. We let go. He retired. We treated him very nicely on his retirement thing so that he would get his proper retirement pay or something. And now he's come back into the service.
Elmer Sachs hired
him. Elmer Sachs.
Yeah.
He didn't have a sense.
Yeah.
Bryce Harlow.
Yeah.
Bryce Harlow's judgment on that drug thing is worth shit. Well, that was one we fought in office. Some of us did.
Well, now, we still have a guy in IRS.
Can I say one thing, John, that I reversed on the cold one that continued to be in the middle of my mind?
Okay.
I don't think, I mean, again, this is a prejudice for nobody in the staff except all of the reasons. Maybe you do understand. I am totally against the education establishment. Totally. 1,000%, if I may quote somebody else. Now, my point is, I am not going to have any son of a bitch in that thing who has anything to do with the NDA. Nothing. The NDA is against us. And Coleman, I think, is an NDA man. He's an establishment educationalist. Now, I don't care how we'll put in a goddamn chimpanzee from UCLA if necessary. But I am not going to put, a man in there who's of that establishment. Just leave it open.
Mm-hmm.
And just talk. Richardson's got a shape on that thing. Because we are not going to put somebody in education who's going to turn around. Now, Coleman, I like as an individual. And I think he's a distinguished educator. But when are we going to start learning to quit appointing distinguished people who kick us in the ass?
Well,
this is a good start, isn't it? You see my point?
I follow you.
So I want to checkmate if he's an establishment education man.
Okay.
If he gets along with the NEA, screw him.
Okay.
I'm not for him.
Okay.
And find somebody who isn't. I don't know.
Well, we had a guy, and then he turned out to be this guy in Colorado. He turned out to be dead set against us on civil rights. So we eliminated him at great expense to the management. And we'll find a guy.
You see my point?
Okay, well, sure.
Cannot have in that critical position of all the parties.
Sure.
Are they here? It's in the hands. Just go back to the chapter 7.
The IRS, I think we better do, I think, is to wrangle this guy.
this program George is taking, number one. You bring it in here, I'll order George to do it. Well, I'm not sure I'll be having it, but what do you do?
Hi, how are you? How are you? Good to see you.
Well, I've seen you mostly on TV, I've never seen you, but I'll tell you, on California, it's all worked for a while. You're just doing this week, you do the rest, can't you?
Well, I'm from.
I don't know, you're not old.
Mr. President, yeah, my son Bruce.
It's Bruce, right, how old are you now?
Well.
How did you get one?
Thank you. This is my wife, Mary, yeah.
All right, nice to see you.
Thanks, sir. And that's Barbara.
Barbara's, you're, how old are you? You're the daughter.
She's a daughter, yeah.
That's. Oh, I mean, obviously, you're the, yeah.
Yes, right. This is Mrs. Green.
Hi. Well, you're in the Hall of Fame, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I visited, have you ever seen it?
Oh, no, that was my first occasion.
And you, was it, I took the tour, about last in 1973, great fun, didn't you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. And the one thing that stuck out in my mind quite vividly was when we were coming down the street there, we had 200 people. And you had to wave, you know, and.
Sure.
Not being in condition at all, and.
Right, but let's go there, we usually like to get a picture of it, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You know, I, funny thing, I didn't realize you were going to get a picture. Because, basically, in pro ball, everybody, how much was you weigh when you're playing?
I don't know, about 200.
About 210.
I did, well, I think it was, I found out 210, just for the music.
Yeah, you get it, yeah. They wasn't too big enough?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, but you were fast, you could move, yeah, you had all the moves. All right, now, remember, I was just, I bet you know, we got this, oh, listen, I didn't know I had that, this has been on my desk since 69.
It's the Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl ball. You played the Pro Bowl.
I have a play.
Go back a little bit.
Coach, that.
Well, you should have made a sign up for my kids.
Sure. Are you new yet?
Oh.
Wait, that's very common.
I mean, when you're in the football, I'm trying to get out, and you can also, I'm coaching, back in the left side.
Oh, I know. He's not hard, I can see that.
Well, it's like, please, thanks very much.
Now, this is, have you been talking about it a long time?
Oh, it's.
It's not hard, did you see it?
It's hard.
We're working on it. Oh, yeah, yeah. West, that, you're the west side.
Well, they hear what you have.
Everyone, everyone, Mark, I don't know. How bad. Tommy, what is your, who was the best, playing, you recall in your playing career, is that an umpire?
That is, that's the.
Who was the guy that, who's a defensive end that was the highest?
Oh, well, Gino Marchetti, you know, was my.
Yeah.
And he was also in the same time, but I think Gino was a terrific defensive.
Did you ever play against one of my great friends, Greedo?
Gene Greedo, oh, yes, thank you.
Would be a wonderful man.
Really?
You know,
yeah.
I remember getting presenting that, you know, award in the Redskin, Howard. But then he went out to California,
right.
Never, and got out there, but he was a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
But wasn't he good to
Gino?
Greedo was a hard guy to get around.
Well, you know, I played against him in college.
He was Loyola, LA, and you were San
Francisco.
Of course you did, and you played against him.
He should have, yes, he was. He's always been there.
You know, in all the years, he was a defensive end, and you'd be entertained in this, because you know that this fellow, Gene Greedo, was the first of the earlier stage, and, not too much sure. But in all the years, he was like one of the toughest defensive ends in the whole of football. And all the time he played, he never had a point.
That's right.
Never. Now, that doesn't prove that guys have penalties necessary or bad. But I mean, Why you brought it up? Why you take down your parents? It's his purpose.
This is the thing that I really, thought in terms of him, how long was he alive, but I believe it was a gentleman. This is.
Where are you living now?
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, oh yeah. I should have been honest, but you like it there, do you, in LA, and first being to San Francisco, that is a.
Near home, really.
Well, we Californians, yeah. We always, we have a few little, events. There's a, for the men, we always hear the presidential complex. Let me show you what it is. This is the seal of the president, I'm seeing. And why there is a complex. Now that's your, this is, and for the ladies, we give the seals and ten. Where this is reasonable. Here's a bow pin for you, and then we'll see if I can do something. The daughter, a chain bracelet, sort of with, that's the seal again, and you've got a little tie bar. Now I'll show you how this works. See, here is the seal in the floor. This rug is new every, they make a new one every 3 or 4 years. But always, they, for 50, 60 years, always weave this into it. There it is up there, see. So that's the mark, and then you get the top. So a little, this is a little mementos, things that you take along with your visit to the mark. You're gonna be sure to get a tour.
Yes, sir.
So you have a park, you got a tour, yeah.
Getting ready to, get a little bit more.
Right.
Okay, I'm Los Angeles, I still have.
In LA?
LA, yeah.
My gosh. You know, that, I remember the days when there were only four high schools in Los Angeles, LA, Manuel.
Right.
And, Poly, LA Poly, and then, Fremont.
Fremont, right.
Yeah. Now they have. Well, we congratulate you on the Hall of Fame, and also helping to build these young guys.
Thank you.
As I went off football, all high school college, never made a letter, and I never regret it. Those big guys, they teach you humility.
Just sort of some goddamn frustration.
Sure.
The thing they screwed up. Here's
this playback, that the word's gonna get out that we're doing it and all that. John, saying we gotta move now, that's one where I would be more concerned about the potential for bad than the potential for good. I really question whether now it's worth trying to get the McGovern people. In the first place, you can't move anything fast enough to do anything anyway. I would think that we can get some people with some guts in the second term when we don't care about repercussions.
Yeah, probably if we don't have a second term, it doesn't do much good.
Yeah, but doing this is going to get you a second term.
Why don't we?
I just wonder what you can do that you can make them nervous, and that actually.
You could put out to Rizal or somebody the Larry O'Brien, Howard Hughes title. That'd make them nervous.
Why don't put it out now, Jack Anderson with 20 anymore? Okay.
Well, I don't know how you put it out,
but I don't either. Maybe that's one Crossing could peddle someplace. But we're going to get caught peddling that stuff.
Yep.
And in the position we're in, we don't have the factors that work with us to do that kind of harassment that they do. We don't have the bureaucracy with us, and we don't have the press with us.
Yep.
They do. And when they put out a story that Billy Graham's involved in tax dodges, the bureaucracy is
well, I have a different view,
and so is the press.
I have a different view.
Nobody said anything else. The advantage here is, I guarantee you, What'll happen is somebody at Internal Revenue will say, oh yeah, we had a call from Chuck Colson and he said to pull the tax file on the guy. He wasn't trying to predict some of it.
How to approach the non-political, cuts both ways. Because if we do this, the press is going to be unwilling to blame him for it if we can cause him to do it. He can be a cover for it.
Everybody that shows is an honest man.
Right. Well, why don't I have a chat?
Well, is there a way to cause him to do it externally so that it isn't his initiative? In other words, can we get a complaint for it?
They've done what they've done to us. That's what I mean.
Can we get an external? No, because that's the other problem. Can we get an external tip that gives him a rationale for doing it? That he then says he orders the investigation because this information's come to his hand.
Well, take the O'Brien thing.
Yeah,
O'Brien, goddamn
it. Now, that one, we've got it. It's in an IRS report, right. In a sensitive report. He's got every reason to
pull
it out
together.
Well, this is our little guy in the woodwork over there feeds this stuff to us.
But it's a sensitive report. It's the reason it's sensitive is because it involves you and Humphrey.
And Don.
Well, you because of Don.
Yeah.
And Humphrey because Humphrey is directly involved. But inadvertently, in the midst of a four-page report, is one little paragraph that says Hughes Tool Company in 1970 and 71 paid $190,000 to Larry O'Brien and $163,000 to Joe Napoli. Reason for payments not indicated.
What is the situation?
Well, it seems to me this thing gives you the basis for saying, oh, I have to check Larry O'Brien's income tax return, and I'm under enormous pressure on this.
Because of the investigation he was doing.
The problem is this payment was not to Larry O'Brien, it was to Larry O'Brien Associates, so you've got to go to a corporate return.
I'm sure he was a corporation, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was a corporation.
He was Democratic National Chairman at the time, but he also was an his living was earned as a public relations man or something.
Was he a corporation?
Yeah. Larry O'Brien. Well, I don't know whether it was a corporation or an individual.
Very important
corporation.
Point.
It was a
very important point. He was a partnership. You should kick the hell out of him.
Yep.
He's got it recorded as individual income as a partnership.
Well, more than that, Napolitan is supposed to be a conduit for him.
That's right.
And you want to see if Napolitan got this money, whether O'Brien got any of it, whether he paid tax on it. Okay, well, I'll turn to
you got there $250,000, which is a lot of money.
Quarter of a million.
Yeah. That came in. And was paid, and the Hughes Tool records show the payments to these two people.
That's late. That is.
Well, that's within
15
a week.
Years ago.
Yeah, that's just within a week.
No, the payments were made late.
Oh yes. Yeah, but
the
last
couple of years.
The information came in just within the week.
But
yeah.
It's not an old story.
That's right.
This is the case with
Okay. Well, let me take that on.
And you've got Hubert Humphrey, and now we want to lay off the Humphrey, I think.
Well, let's see.
Well,
I think so.
I think you do, because I think a lot of the people that are involved with him are people who are
involved
with him.
I was going to help you ever went after Humphrey's maybe straight ahead.
Well, but then you start getting into Dwayne Andreas and
what else? Yeah, you know, friends of all time.
I know, but let's
what else
are
you
doing now?
Well, we've got a file of footsteps on Henry Kimmelman.
Right.
And this is over in the Department of Interior, where we have fewer problems.
Right.
And
right.
I do have some work going on that.
Yeah, right. Scare the shit out of them. Scare the shit out. Now, there's some Jews with the mafia in with their ball in this phone, too.
Now, that's not right. Well, that's one they're piling up. That's not. That's
IRS.
I should go beyond anywhere on that. But that's no, it's not IRS. It's justice.
Right.
And the campaign thing. McGovern's incorporated his campaign organization. Several of the incorporators have some unpleasant affiliations, and but what they're trying to do there is they're afraid to let any word get out until it's done something. The corporation hasn't taken any money in yet, and they want to get it enacted. They don't want to
signal the fact that we're on to it until it's done something.
Yeah.
We can hang it on.
Yeah.
Deeds on that.
Okay. Well, do we have any members of the cabinet as far as political?
Yeah, but you don't have any with very many guts when it becomes to you know, is something going to bounce back on me? And with a very good justification, because of this jackass operation at the Watergate, they are more sensitive than they would have been before, and they would have been pretty sensitive before. But we do have a knack for doing this stuff in effort. And the last thing we need now, that's what bothers me, is if we can't do it effectively, then I think we better
forego
the benefits of doing it.
But we can
perfectly legitimate investigation.
Yeah. We can do things that are within legitimate parameters, and I think create some fear. I don't think we'll get any indictments, we won't stir anybody up, or any of that kind of, but we can create some fear.
Well, we'll bring some indictments afterwards. That's
oh, well, we have that sounds sharp.
We ought to move with some vengeance to destroy this stuff.
Damn right.
That's what we should have done it 3 years ago. We partly didn't know how, partly when we tried, we got certain that. We sure as hell did in 70.
Yeah, with the Douglas stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mr. Dustin Douglas. Well, we're trying to get some. We're going to get all kinds of problems.
The doors are clamped shut.
Yeah.
They just got a hell of a lot more snakes in the world than we did. And their snakes are a hell of a lot tougher than ours.
I'm going to be talking to Berger this week. And I would be inclined to indicate to him that it is to your advantage not to have the Ellsberg case tried until after the election. Unless you have any serious objection, I'm going to give him that signal.
Sure.
He has it literally within his control.
If you're saying, I'd say that it really would raise hell President Johnson and a lot of other things. It would be very embarrassing to our foreign policy. Not a good thing right now with the delicate negotiations on Vietnam. Put it in the basis of he has some other reason.
All right. All right.
You get the message.
They've got a chance to really rub Mr. Justice Douglas's nose in by reversing him and making the case go to trial. So they'll have to pass that lovely opportunity.
The temptation to screw that
up.
But
yeah.
You know, that's a pyrrhic victory. Who the hell cares? But he screwed up with nobody, won't bother Douglas.
And Douglas filed the most dishonest opinion I have ever read in that case, and granted that say.
Well, there's a break for us
question about
opportunity not to
now,
have a trial.
It may result in Ellsberg going free and double jeopardy, because they've already sworn the jury. But I think that's a small price to pay and a kind of a nice out.
There's no way you could
have a legal view is that we're going to lose the case anyway.
That's
no way. Well, I understand. Hoover's going for this. One thing about this, there's no way you could put Shipley in jail.
I think that's going to get taken care of all by itself. I think he was in some land deals around.
Carl Shipley?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's a bad actor.
Well,
I don't know why in the hell that stupid who's that ambassador?
Mid Dark.
Why he didn't follow him? For some reason.
Shipley was his lawyer for years.
Nice.
Well, just. Shipley's up and damn close to Colson too, so be careful how far you run the lines out and putting.
Well, that's right, he worked on the ass.
He's worked with them on a lot of things.
Hmm. Well, Eddie is clean in that deal, that oceanographic
thing. I know he is.
But it's an interesting case in point. That investigation started down in the staff of the SEC and was permitted to grow to the point where there wasn't anything Casey could do about it. There's a similar situation that we caught in the antitrust division that would have just raised hell. It was developed by a little unit of staff guys, and fortunately, there was a leak out of them, and we found out about it and were able to scotch it. But these things burgeon all the time, and they checkmate the chairman, or they checkmate the guy in charge.
I get it too far gone for them. That's why they said every lawyer. Point.